Would you pray with me? Lord, we do come to you this morning asking now as we turn to your word that you would open our hearts to receive your word. And Lord, we are thankful that we can be gathered here together in this place to hear your word and to be that encouragement for each other as we live our lives in this world. We ask that you would block out a few distractions that might be going through our minds right now so that we can focus our full attention on your words here this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Over the last couple of weeks, we started this series, Joining Jesus on His Mission. And really what we're looking at is how can we be everyday missionaries? Now, I know when we hear that word about being a missionary or being someone who tells the world or other people about Jesus, it's in the bulletin, the welcome statement every week so far, and I think I've said this. And for me, even myself, when we think about telling others about Jesus, it can be a little bit overwhelming. And sometimes it might even be a little scary. But here's what I pray this morning is that we find out this morning and know that it's not as hard as what we make it. Because I think sometimes we make it hard when it's really a fairly simple task that God has called us to do. I wanted to ask, how many of you have ever been involved with a project? Maybe you've built something or in the process of making something. Maybe it's in the area of putting together, organizing a fundraiser or organizing an event. And you're pretty proud of what you're doing. I mean, you think everything is coming together really well, or whatever you're building is turning out just exactly the way you want it to. But then someone comes up to you and says, oh, by the way, you really should have done it this way. Have you had that happen before? How many have been on the end of telling someone that? You see, I think we all find ourselves in that position. And I really think this is what is going on in our gospel reading for this morning. So if we think about our gospel reading for this morning, Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, Jesus begins to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. He must be killed and be raised to life on the third day. He's explaining this to his disciples, and I'm going to say initially the disciples are really struggling with what he just told them. I mean, they're probably trying to wrap their minds around what is it that Jesus is really saying to us. Now, we have the benefit of living after the fact. We know exactly what Jesus was trying to tell the disciples. But I want us to think about what that really meant at that time for the disciples, that he must go and suffer and be killed and be raised to life. If we go back all the way to Genesis, where Adam and Eve took that fruit and ate of it, the forbidden fruit, from that point on, mankind was separated from God. But in chapter 3 of Genesis, we have this great proclamation of God promising someone who's going to reverse all this. In chapter 3 of Genesis, we have the effects of sin. There's an effect placed on all three parties that were involved. There was an effect placed on the serpent, one on the woman, and one on the man. God told the serpent that from that point on, he was going to what? Crawl on his belly and eat dust of the earth for the rest of his life. For the woman, she was going to have, maybe some of you all too well know that, have pain in what? Childbirth. For the man, the ground was going to produce thorns and thistles, and he was going to work the land by what? the sweat of his brow. It was going to be tough. And so we have those effects of sin that separated man from God. But also in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, after he says, the serpent, you're going to crawl on your belly and eat dust, he says that I'm going to put enmity, I'm going to put strife between you, the serpent, and the woman, between her offspring and yours. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. What does all that mean? I mean, what God is saying is, and we can see this in the world we live in today, there's going to be strife among people. There's going to be strife in this struggle between sin and living right. But there's going to be an offspring from the woman that's going to come and crush the serpent. Yeah, the serpent, the Satan is going to be nagging at people for the rest of their life. But ultimately, this offspring of the woman is going to crush Satan's head. To me, that's exactly what Jesus is trying to tell the disciples here. This is God's plan. What's happening is exactly what God has planned from the very fall of man into sin to carry out this restoration process that God has in store for his people. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to have to suffer. I'm going to have to die, but I'm going to be raised on the third day to promise everyone life and to ultimately proclaim victory over Satan, to crush his head. And guess what? In verse 22, Peter stands up and says, you know what? That plan stinks, right? I mean, here's this perfectly laid out plan of God for Jesus to go to the cross, to suffer, to die, and to be raised to life. And Peter steps up and says, no, never will that happen. Because Peter thinks he has a better plan, I guess. He says this will not happen. But then Jesus responds to Peter in verse 23 and says, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block for me, for you do not have the things of God in mind, but the things of man. How many of us like to take control of things? How many of us want to be in charge of doing what we think needs to be done? And I think this really, why are some people laughing at each other here? I really think, because we like to do it, right? I mean, that's who we are. We like to be in charge. But I really think this comes into play even when we're talking about being a missionary, being an everyday missionary in the world. Because what happens is, I have in my mind who really needs to hear about Jesus. I have in my mind how I really ought to be going about this. You see, we want to do things on our terms rather than on God's terms. And so I believe what we need to really think about is, what is God, what is Jesus actually doing? What's already happening around us? And I said, you know, we try to make it difficult. We do make it difficult, where it's really a simple and easy task. Because what God is calling us to do, and I've mentioned this, I think, in both messages now, God is not calling us to go out for Jesus, but what are we to do? We're to go with him. He doesn't call us to make decisions on our own of how things are to work. He's just simply calling us to go out with him. If you think about Jesus' ministry, I'm going to say that Jesus really liked to be around people. And if you think about what he was doing, was he going out and saying, okay, I need to go to this person, I need to go to that person because they need this, I need to go to this group of people because they need that? Is that what we really see him doing? Or was he really just going about his everyday life and these situations came to him and presented themselves? And then obviously he would heal people, he would teach people, he would do all these things for the people. And I think the same is true for us. We're not necessarily called to go out and make something happen. We're called to go out with Jesus and see what's already happening around us and respond to those needs that present themselves. I can almost guarantee you that everyone here runs into some sort of situation nearly every day where someone is hurting, someone is in need, someone has lost a loved one, someone has been diagnosed with an illness, someone has had a tragedy that has hit their life. All too well we know that because of the hurricane, right? And there's been responses by hundreds, maybe thousands of people to reach out and help those who are in need. But further removed from that, even here, I know that all of us come in contact with someone each and every day that may just simply need someone to talk to. Someone to cry on your shoulder, to have them cry on your shoulder, just to listen, just to present whatever's going on in their life. We have those opportunities each and every day. God is at work. Jesus is at work every single day in people's lives all around us. And I really think all he wants us to do is to have our eyes open, our ears open, to see and hear the needs of people and to respond to them by offering help, just an ear to listen, and yes, ultimately, to point them to the love of Jesus that he has for them. We make it hard, don't we? When we have in our mind what we need to do for God today. But it's really easy. We don't have to do things for God. We go with Jesus and look for those opportunities where he is already working in people's lives. See what he's already doing. And then we have the opportunity to respond, to be there for them, to show them the love of God. That is what I pray that God gives each of us this week, an opportunity that we see people in a different way this week, that we listen, that we watch, and look for those ways that God is already at work in people's lives, and we simply respond with his love to help someone through a difficult time or whatever it is that presents itself to us. Let's pray. Lord, we do ask that you would continue to be with us today, and Lord, as we leave this place here at church, that we go out into the world and that you would give us opportunities this week to be a witness of who you are, that we look for ways to reach out to people, but also as those opportunities present themselves to us, that we are ready to respond, with just being a good friend, someone who shows concern, so that these people may feel comfortable around us, and ultimately with the idea of sharing your love with them. We ask that you would be with us this week, and Lord, just place in our laps those opportunities that you wish for us to respond to. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.